Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my own.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
That's right. It is Crusader Talk. Coming off of a homecoming week, and a pretty good one at that. Lots of exciting action to get to. Big soccer matches. My goodness, if you were not out at Danny Owens Field on Thursday night as Carey took on undefeated Life, both in the men's and women's side. Women were undefeated. Men were undefeated. Had two draws, but still a terrific record for both of those squads coming into Danny Owens Field on Thursday night. But hey, records don't mean anything when you play the Crusaders, because William Carey gets the win in both and take down undefeated Life in women's 2-1, and men do it the same exact way, 2-1. Just an incredible showing for the Crusaders in those matches. Carey women get the win on Saturday against Dalton on Senior Day, and the men draw against Dalton, which doesn't completely dismantle all the chances of where they will finish in the SSAC, because if they went out, they will still be the number one seed. Josh, a fun weekend for all of us.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was just so good to see the energy on campus with the carnival, with homecoming, with obviously Hall of Fame festivities. We're going to get into that, because soccer with an inductee, men's basketball with an inductee, which is kind of the where we're going with some of the interviews in this show with Coach Farrell and Coach Knight. And, you know, for me, the moment of the weekend was actually me doing some work late into the night on Thursday, and I actually was on the Carey Sports Network. I actually had you and Clayton pulled up, and I pulled it up as we're lining up for the free kick late in that match.
That's crazy,
and
man,
it was perfect timing.
It was one of the most we had two really good memorable moments last year with some of those men's soccer finishes. One Colby Godbolt header late in a match early. I can't even remember who it was against now, but then the Billy Bogue punch in after Jamie Wynn's assist against Georgia Gwinnett to send Carey to the final site was also one that stands in my memory. But this one will be ranked right up there with it, because Teddy Miranda in the 85th minute is able to head in Danny Malero's free kick right inside the near post. And it was just phenomenal. Yeah, just flew in there. And I got to give credit, by the way, to Clayton, because my call only sounded that good because he had his eyes right there on it. And as I called the goal, I say the header, and I look to Clayton, he's holding up a number 2. And praise God, Teddy Miranda has a single-digit number, because then it gets funky if you try to hold up two different hands. So you don't know if you're trying to add up those digits or if you're saying, oh, 25, not 7. But it was very easy to know, all right, 2, Teddy Miranda, and called it confidently, and it turned out to be right.
Yeah, there was one from Saturday where I needed help on a yellow card, and he's holding up a 2-1, 2-1. No, I missed the first one. It was 1-2, not 2-1. There was no 21 on the roster. And I was like, oh, I'm afraid I missed that yellow card. Clayton, who was it on that yellow card again? That was actually number 12, so-and-so.
Yeah.
And I went, 12, not 20. Well,
now, let me ask you, on Saturday, you got to fill in for me on one of those soccer matches, because I had to go and emcee the Sports Hall of Fame banquet. Did the men's uniforms for Dalton look any better than the women's?
100%.
Okay. Because if you were not tuned in, for you, the listener, if you were not tuned into the women's game on Saturday, the worst jerseys I've ever seen when it comes to broadcasters trying to keep track of people, because we're at field level. Keep this in mind. So we are as close to the action as you can be. Did not matter. Unless they were 10 feet in front of you, you could not determine numbers, because they're wearing white kits, white numbers, a thin navy outline around those numbers.
Just don't even try. Don't even, you know, patronize me with that thin navy outline. Just might as well let that just shine in the angle of the sun on the stitching. You might as well make it all white at this point.
Yeah.
Because it's imperceivable to the naked eye at that speed.
Yeah. No, and if you're watching through binoculars even, you're having to wait for them to just give you a clear broadside view, like they're a deer coming out of the woods, just to see, okay, you know, do I get the full number? Or am I just going to get like a little digit here at the time?
Sure.
Is it an 8? Is it a 9? You know, what is it?
Yeah, great analogy too.
Yeah, so that was our experience for the women's game on Saturday. But still, didn't really matter too much because Dalton only had one goal, and I just so happened to be looking in the binoculars at the right time, and that helped our friends, the statisticians, down the line. And I was able to say, it was 17 from 23, or you know, whatever it may have been. And I muted my mic real quick to tell Tom and Kevin that. So it was just one of those matches you had to just gut through. But Kerry got the win in that one, and they are in the driver's seat moving forward for the possible conference regular season title.
Yeah, no, it's great. And, you know, I tried to – you text me prior to, you know, getting going here tonight, and you said, did you get with Coach Barry after the ball game? And I said, no, he's in no mood to talk. When Clayton walks over and Clayton says, hey, look, no Barry tonight. If he'd have wanted to talk, he'd have come over to us. And, no, they were kind of immediately into, you know, breaking it down. You know, hey, God, wish this and this would have went better. What do you think about this and this? How could we have done this and this differently? And, you know, just felt like that was a match that with Dalton State's recent results – that they felt like they could have gotten a better result. They did get a result. They did get a point. They did not take an L.
That's right.
Which is huge. But they really felt like that they could play off that momentum. It snapped a 10-game match win streak. You know, snapped a 10-match win streak. And it's strange because it certainly doesn't – it's not a loss. And it didn't feel like a loss, but it wasn't the – they weren't celebrating it either. You know, the mindset has shifted – inside that men's program, where especially coming off the life win, they felt like they should have gotten that win as well.
Like, it's different, right? Because if you get to the end of the season, end of the regular season, and this is where you have that game against Dalton, you know, Kerry's in a position right now where if they win out by way of points, they will have the regular season title, regardless of what life does, which is the next, you know, dog in the hunt. You have the head-to-head against them, but two, you would have, even with a draw, if you were playing Dalton at the end of the year, you would know going into that match that a draw would get you the title. So
sure.
Then it would be one of those celebratory things. But right now, you look at it and you say, okay, now we can't do anything except win out to control our own destiny.
And that's what you want, that you said it. You want to be in control of your own destiny at this point of the season. And for the ladies, I might have been looking at a note or something. Is it sewn up already or very close?
I think I'd have to look back at some of the other matches from around the conference, but if they are not locked in with the win on their next match against Faulkner, it will be.
They would need to lose two, essentially, down the stretch.
They would need to lose two and have possibly some other things happen, I would think. Now, granted, life is the next one knocking at the door. So there's a chance there for life to overtake you if you do get those two losses. I think that's where it stands right now. But as far as I'm aware, again, both of these teams are in the control of their own destiny. Women, I think, again, if they win just one more, they've got it. And if the men win out, then they have it.
Right. Yes. So for William, Kerry, and life, both with the 24 points, but Kerry 8-0 and life 8-1. So they would need to lose two. They would need to lose both of their two remaining games. Is that right?
Two I think remaining. So. Yeah, you would have to finish with two losses where life would only finish with one, to where life would have that tiebreaker on you right now. Because both the Kerry and life in women's soccer have the same number of points, but life has one more game played, and it's that loss against Kerry. And now coming up in the rest of their schedule, they still have Dalton State. That's their only match remaining. So as a matter of fact, I think you may be right now that I'm looking at it, because Dalton is the last game for life.
So if Kerry wins one more, they've got it. Their magic number is one.
Their magic number is one to secure by way of tiebreaker. They would get it outright if they went out or if life loses their match against Dalton. Now, because we're going to talk to Coach Farrell in our second segment, we gave him a little bit of a breather after the match against Dalton to finally regroup his thoughts, and now he's going to give them to this in the second segment. But to break down the women's matches, man, just thinking about that life game. Looking back at just the sequence of it all, Kerry gets a 21st-minute goal from Alessia Navarro in a match where Kerry had a couple chances but were giving up opportunities early. Like, life was out shooting Kerry in the first half up until a later point there. But finally get a big goal from, you know, center just outside the box, maybe about 20, 22 yards out, but from straight on, the ball just found Alessia Navarro, and she just banged it home. right past the Life keeper, and Cary goes up 1-0. Now, that's when Life was able to check in Sasha Millward, who Clayton told me coming in was one of their best goal scorers, and we're like, why is she not starting? And I don't know if this is just part of Life's MO of how they want to play her, but maybe just give her fresh legs later, maybe make Cary, you know, play fast-paced and get winded early to then throw in that fresh player to just come streaking out there and score a goal. But it ended up working. You know, Sasha Millward gets a lucky ball to her, kind of on a counterattack, I want to say it was, and gets it in the 36th minute to equalize and make it 1-1 at the half. But, man, crazier things happen in soccer. Barely a minute gone by in the second half, and Cary, off of a kick from Karen Vallow, she ricochets it off a Life player's arm, and Cary gets set up for a penalty kick. She knocks it through, and they hold on for the final 43 minutes.
Wow.
And that was Life, and that was a very winded, just a run-heavy game to where Cary was very winded against Dalton come Saturday, but they even got that one out too. But all said and done, terrific homecoming weekend. Can't ask for much better results.
No, I agree, and also congratulations to ABAC. They got a win over Blue Mountain 6-0.
Oh, my goodness. I was wondering who would end up winning that one. I'm glad you told me that before we got out of here on this segment. But still more to come. Mentioned Coach Barry Farrell is going to join us second segment. We're also going to have Coach Knight with us to preview basketball. That coming up next.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back with you on Crusader Talk. Glad you're with us for this edition as we are recapping a whole lot on the show. Big homecoming week. We already have those soccer matches in the book. The volleyball had that midweek matchup at home before they took one on the road against Point and just couldn't quite get there. But one big thing that was fun for me this weekend was getting to go over to Tatum Court and going up to see all the different athletes that have been part of the William Cary Sports Hall of Fame over the years that come back, and saw five new players inducted and included two people, if you're just a recent Crusader, probably already going to know, and Craig Fletcher from softball and DJ Pulley, former athletics director, golf coach, former golf player, all of that as well.
How's Craig doing, by the way?
He looked great. He had a great speech, really heartfelt. Had a great support. A lot of the softball players came over to enjoy the dinner and support him with that. Coach Hogue was there as well. She's already an inductee into the Hall of Fame for William Cary. But one guy that wasn't able to attend, which, by the way, congratulations, Coach Holford got to go to one of these for the first time in a long time, because normally it's homecomings in the spring and baseball is playing, and so he doesn't get to be a part of the homecoming festivities of the Sports Hall of Fame banquet. So he was there, but the one guy that wasn't there is the one who we bring on the podcast now. That's Coach Barry Farrell. And Coach, we were keeping tabs on this match while we were sitting there up in the banquet hall, just watching and listening to Josh and Clayton call it, because we were all invested trying to see if we were going to get a clean sweep of home matchups for the week. But all in all, we say it's win, lose, or draw, and in that afternoon, it was a draw.
Yeah, we just fell short. That Life game on the Thursday night really took a lot of energy out of us. We had chances against Dalton State, and we just kind of failed to take them. But still, two games. Disappointed we didn't win the game, but still in prime position in the league standings.
Now, the way that I understand it is that you're in firm control of your destiny, that if you win out, you are automatically going to be the number one seed in the conference tournament. Is that right, by the way it says it right now?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise we're going to have to wait for a dramatic Sunday, and everybody's going to be watching Life and Dalton, because they have football. They don't play on Thursday, Saturday traditionally. They play on Friday, Sunday. So we'd all be back at home watching, waiting to see what happens. But again, like you said, if we win out, then it carries the number one seed. And meanwhile, the girls are in the same prime position, just without any draws so far this year. Now, Coach, we can take some time to break down Life and Dalton. I do want to do that. But one big thing, like I mentioned earlier, that happened over the weekend was a Sports Hall of Fame. And Luis Trude, one of your former players, was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And you didn't get a chance to be out there because you were busy, as we all know. But tell us a little bit about Luis in your perspective from being a coach.
Yeah, phenomenal player. I was actually kind of a assistant coach, part-time coach when Luis played. I was actually the coordinator of intramural sports at that time. Luis played at Kerry for 3 years. Fantastic player. One of the best players that have in the last 20 years that have played at William Carey on the men's soccer side. Off the field as well, Caleb. Just a great person as well. It's a player you pay money to go and watch play. He scored goals, plenty of assists. We actually inducted him as well just before our game on Saturday into our men's soccer Wall of Fame that we have as well. And he was a first team All-American. He was SSAC Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, Freshman of the Year, First Team All-Conference. You know, he made the semifinal of the National Championship in his freshman year. Just a phenomenal player. He graduated in 3 years and went Division One for his fourth year.
Yeah, went over to Marquette, had a pretty good season there as well.
Yeah, had a great season over there and, still has a lot of friends and at William Carey. And I think that's where he met his girlfriend. And she played on the golf team for Mixon.
Yeah, Aubrey, his wife, was a golfer and a cross-country runner.
Yeah, yeah, so they met at William Carey and, I think they moved up to Utah. He's now living in Los Angeles. Doing really well. So I missed the actual Hall of Fame dinner, but got to see him after our game. So spent another 15, 20 minutes talking to him, and just great to see him as well again.
Yeah, very cool. And Luis, originally from Sao Paulo, Brazil, to kind of make his whole home in the United States through William Carey and up through Utah and into California, like you mentioned. Really cool story there.
Coach, I think for me, outside looking in, to have that type of historical perspective of the program. I don't know if you haven't had a chance, and I don't know how much you do get a chance and go back and review some of the broadcasts sometimes if you listen to them, but Clayton and I were talking about just what the name William Carey Soccer now means internationally, where the recruiting profile of this program is now. And it's not like it's just been an overnight thing. This is something that's been years and decades in the making. But it does. I mean, the talent that is assembled on this year's team, the number of playmakers, it's players like Luis that were inducted that built that foundation, many years ago. And why? Because of the class of coaches, the strength of the program, the wins, the notoriety. It's why this program continues to reload year in, year out.
Yeah, and the program, listen, William Carey's bigger than any coach, player. The program just continues no matter who's in charge or what players come and go. You graduate, players come and go, and you miss those players. But there's always going to be another Luis Trude as well coming in. And like you said, Caleb, Josh as well, that's been like that for 40 years. William Carey on the men's and soccer side of things it just has that tradition. You go outside the country, it is well known as well for athletics.
Yeah, and nowhere was that more evident to me than after the win for Carey against Life on Thursday, because I get onto social media and I happen to find Teddy Miranda's Instagram page, and all of a sudden I see him sharing four or five different people with international-looking names as their Instagram handles. All have screen recorded his game-winning goal where Carey went up 2-1 against Life in the final 5 minutes and had posted it, wanting to just brag on Teddy and how they were following Carey soccer. And people from all over the world just tuned into what this program is doing. And we can kind of spread that comment into the further thought of, man, what a game against Life.
Yeah, no, Life. Listen, Alex at Life does a fantastic job. They've been improving every single year, and we're undefeated before they played us. It was a big game. I would say it was like a national tournament, national championship kind of quarterfinal game. Intense, it's probably one of the most intense games we've had this season at home. So, Teddy Miranda's been out injured for a couple of weeks, and you know, he popped up with the winner. He likes to score those kind of crosses, scrappy goals, header, but it was a great angle actually. The cameraman had a great angle for that, and yeah, just, you know, it's great for recruiting as well, because players were looking for next year. You know, they're watching that game. There was coaches and players, transfer players that would probably come to William Carey. They were all watching that game because it was a top 15 game in the NAI.
Now, just about that goal, do you think Danny was trying to put that in directly, and Teddy just picked up on the fact it was about to go wide and punched it in?
Well, it's a funny story, because Danny has a unique kind of technique on the shot. So it's and I actually said it in the locker room after. It's like he's looking to shoot, but you know, and if he gets it on target, it's a goal. But it's like my golf swing. If he misses it, it goes to the right. Like I hook, put it out to the right hand side. So from that angle, it actually turns into a really, really good cross. So we kind of joke about that all the time. It's like my golf swing, bad miss, and it's still a really good cross. So yeah, he's shooting, but if it misses, it's going to be a really good cross. And lucky enough, Teddy was on hand to knock it in.
Coach, great transition into what went so right on that header, and the set pieces have been so good in that match and others this year, to not taking advantage of the set pieces and the draw against Dalton State. We talked right after the game, you and I were just visiting, and that was one of your thoughts on the match is, boy, we just didn't have it like we had it earlier in the week against Life in our set pieces.
Yeah, well, and it was something I said to the boys afterwards, you know, set pieces was disappointing. We wasted a lot of good opportunities, except probably Milos in the first half. I think he hit the crossbar. Other than that, we struggled on set pieces, and we had a lot. And it's something we got to look at for the upcoming games. Like you said, Dalton State, the national champions from last season, they're still, you know, they've lost one game all year. So disappointed not to get the win, but, you know, we look forward to this week.
Well, Coach, we do look forward to this week as well. Got to be road matches for you the rest of the way up until quarterfinals, likely hosted at Carey, with games against Faulkner and Point in between. We look forward to seeing how those results play out.
Thanks, Caleb. Appreciate it, Josh, as always.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That is Coach Barry Farrell, head men's soccer coach of William Carey, joining us here on Crusader Talk. Great conversation, as always. Friend of the pod.
Yes, indeed.
The very first. So that is it for our second segment. Coming up next, going to be visiting with another head man himself that I saw over there at the Sports Hall of Fame banquet, Coach Steve Knight, a Hall of Famer in his own right. That and more coming up as Crusader Talk continues.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, rocking and rolling here on Crusader Talk. Glad you're with us. As just wrapped up a good interview with Coach Barry Farrell, and a great season so far for them. I feel like we didn't give enough kudos to where they are right now. The fact they're still undefeated in conference play, just a draw is the only blemish, if you even want to call it that.
Well, and again, just seeing the development, right? Seeing how their offense is evolving, how comfortable, the familiarity now amongst the players, that timing is getting there. So they're just going to continue to get better. And you heard him say they were a little tired after that Life win. That took a lot out of them. They were good, but not as good as they want to be or expect to be. And I think you'll see more good things this weekend.
I agree with that. Now, somebody who is also getting his guys prepared and trying to get them ready, but for the start of a season, is Coach Steve Knight, as he joins us now on Crusader Talk. Coach, glad to be with you. Glad to see you over the weekend. It was fun to see you over there at the Hall of Fame banquet.
Yeah, Caleb, thank you all for having me. It's been a while since I got on with you guys, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk.
We're just giving your voice some rest. I know you've got a lot of yelling for the floor to do, and so it takes a good off season to get through all that and get ready for it.
Yeah, you tried to get me on during the summer one time, and then I had something I had to do, and since then, of course, we got into all the fall sports who had priority at that time of the year, so now it's almost basketball time.
Yeah. Reminds me, though, I think two summers ago we had you and Miss Regina on. That was a great interview. I think it's still available for people that ever want to go back and listen to it on demand. You may have to scroll back a good ways, you know, about 52 episodes or so. But that's a good one you can find. Maybe they could just search, you know, Steve, Regina Knight. They'd find it that way. But nevertheless.
Yeah, she did a great job that night.
Oh, really did. A great story just to hear y'all and how y'all met and the entire story start to finish of how y'all got to where you are now. But as we kind of look back at the homecoming week, I did want to kind of give you an opportunity to discuss what we saw there on Saturday night with the Hall of Fame banquet, as you had one of your former players inducted in Deron Bell. And for the folks at home, I've only been a part of Cary since 2017 or so. So most of the people inducted are folks that I never saw get to play. Unless they were, you know, coaches or athletic directors like we had this past weekend that I have seen not play necessarily, but seen them in different jobs at Cary. But Deron is one that whenever I would hang out in your office prior to a game and record our little pregame interview or whatnot, he's somebody that would come up on multiple occasions just talking about games of old back in the GCAC days and different games that Cary won in dramatic fashion. And some of those stories got brought up last night or Saturday night. And you just had a special player at a special time in Deron.
I did. And Deron was our leader. You know, we were in the midst of, we had only been in the SSAC for a couple of years. And, you know, it was sort of a step up in competition. A lot more depth. And Deron, he was always a winner, won a state championship in high school, did a great job in junior college. And, you know, we weren't sure we were going to be able to sign him, and we did. And there's nothing that Deron on a basketball court, nothing he could not do. And he could play point guard through the four. He was our best defensive player, great anticipator. You heard the stats last night on how many steals he had. Just had a knack for making plays, made big plays, and always made the big shot right when you needed it, or got fouled and went and made two big free throws. He was just a clutch player. He was a pleasure to coach. He, you know, you can see now with what he's doing with his life, you know, he's a self-motivator. He gets up early. He started his own basketball training skills institute. He moves people, has a moving company. He's a paralegal at different schools working, and just somebody that has a lot of good things going for him. But when our time with us, I think we were 28-3 his senior year, and the year before we were like, I don't know, 22-6, something like that.
I mean, pretty impressive.
Right there. Yeah, we had recruited a lot of other good players, but he was the guy who topped it off and made those two seasons great.
Yeah, I'm looking back at it right now. 25-6 for the 2012-13 season, and then the 2013-14 year was 28-3. But I backdated him a little bit too far. That were SSAC days, a little bit into that run out of the GCAC. But still a guy that was a first-team All-American for you his senior year. Just before we transition into talking about this upcoming year for you and your bunch, what's one good story you got maybe about Deron, either his playing days or just personal life?
Well, I'll say this. We were playing Bethel University at home, and it was a game that went down to the wire, and we missed a shot. We had a one-point lead. Shot clock was running down. We missed a shot. They got a rebound and called timeout with about 4 seconds to go. And like, we're up one. They've got to go the length of the court, and the timeout was called toward the free throw line, so the inbounding position was right in front of our bench at the 28-foot mark. And, of course, as a coach during that situation, you say, hey, no fouls, keep them in front, make them use some time, nothing long, that sort of thing. And Deron happened to be guarding the guy that they were inbounding the ball to. Well, he didn't put any pressure on the guy. What he was doing, he was baiting the inbounder to throw it to him. And sure enough, the guy threw a really lazy bounce pass toward him. Deron stole the ball, took one dribble, dunked it right before the horn went off. You know, the place went crazy. We ended up winning, you know, by three. But he made those kind of defensive plays all the time. He was sneaky. He was really sneaky. He just baited the guy into throwing it. And he knew when he threw a bounce pass, he broke on that thing so fast. And, of course, you know, hot dogged it a little bit and flushed it there at the end and threw his arms up. And I said, that's Bell. So you got to be careful when you throw the ball around him.
Yeah, certainly. Now, Josh is the one that has been around your program for the last season, and then is really looking forward to get to call some more of your games coming up this year. Josh, I'll kind of toss it over to you. What are you looking forward to most about this upcoming year that you want to ask Coach Knight about?
Well, I know, Coach, you know, to get to a few minutes of your time, and we've only got, you know, about 4 minutes left in this segment, unfortunately. But, you know, talking to Bert, talking to PJ, you know, asking in particular Coach Bert how the roster's rounded out and hearing his excitement. But this is not going to be an incredibly tall team. This is going to be an incredibly talented, guard-oriented team that's got a lot of depth and a lot of talented pieces that can do a lot of things. So in the mold of a Bell, you've got a bunch of playmakers that can go out and play multiple positions.
We really do, and we're very deep. And 9 of our 13 players did not have any time with us last year. We had one red shirt, and the other 8 are new players. So 4 returners and 1 starter returning, McKeem Roberts, who we have moved from inside position to point guard. And you've got Jamar Johnson, Javion Gordon, and Spanky Randarius Hughes. Those are the 4 returners that got minutes last year. So, you know, I can't tell. We score a lot in practice, and I don't know if it's the offense or the defense. I prefer to think that it's the offense. We do have a lot of talented guys. JUCO transfers. We've got some 4-year transfers. Just a good blend. And like you said, our biggest issue is we're not very big. And we've got 2 6'6" guys, and the rest of them are 6'5" or smaller. But we do have a lot of athleticism. Fits right into the style that we try to play. Even though we have some guys that may not be 6'6", 6'7", they do play taller than their height because of their athleticism. So I think we'll be okay. You never want to get pounded on the glass, but I think we'll hold our own.
Coach, this year, how does the conference look from a 10,000-foot view as far as what are the teams that stand out to you preseason?
Well, it's really hard to tell. Just about everybody else is just like us. They lost a ton of players. We had 6 teams and qualify for nationals last year. And if you look at their rosters, most of their best players are not there anymore. Some of them took advantage of, like Dylan Brumfield. You know, he's at USM this year with that new rule in NCAA. Well, Dylan's time was up with us, but, you know, the point guard at life who actually had another year at life, he's now in South Alabama, and a couple of others that have done that. So tell you about the talent level that we had in our league, those kind of players. So it's really, really hard to tell. It's all everybody's new, and you just don't know you at this point in time, because I think it's all going to be dependent upon what you brought in. And if that's the case, we're in pretty good shape because we brought in some good players. You know, we've got Malik Franklin from Jones College, who came off the bench for them, and a team that made it to nationals. Well, if you look at, he was playing behind a D1 guy. But if you look at his points per game over 40 minutes, he averaged 18 points a game. Mm-hmm. Troy Dunn from Shelton State, 6'4", 210, signed as a quarterback with Southern University out of Baton Rouge, coming out of high school, got injured, ended up going to Shelton State a year later and playing basketball, and just a phenomenal athlete. And we've got a 23-year-old from Africa, Arzika Sibo, who's the strongest guy on the court every time we step out there. He's a man, and packs a powerful punch in there. So those are some guys that we are counting on, and plus the guys Jamar and Malik and Spanky, Javion. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. It's new. We don't know. We won't know until probably 2 or 3 weeks into the season exactly what we have.
Well, Coach, thanks so much. We're looking forward to it. I know you're getting an early start to the year, as the NAIA always does. It's going to be late October, as you'll begin over in Montgomery with the Jimmy Faulkner Classic against Talladega on the 24th. So thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to having you on later on down the road.
Okay, Caleb. Josh, thank you.
All right, thanks, Coach.
All right, he is Steve Knight, head men's basketball coach. I'm used to saying soccer for some reason. And you're joining us on Crusader Talk. More to come as we wrap up with you next.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Man, I feel like I talked to Coach Knight for hours.
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, that's one of the best parts about traveling on the road with that team. And just had a chance to visit with Coach Knight. He wanted to make sure that we were on the same page with traveling arrangements. And it's being at a hotel, being in a hotel lobby, being at a practice, just having a chance to visit with him for maybe 10 minutes, like you said, before a pregame interview. And you don't know what the topic of conversation might be that day. But you're dealing with somebody who will and has forgotten more about basketball than you will ever know. And the stories and the relationships and the memories and the accomplishments. It's tremendous. It's not lost on me. We are so fortunate to get to do what we do, A, but B, get to do it at William Carey, and then with the people we get to do it with, and probably in reverse order, the people, the place, and then, being able to broadcast. We know how tremendously fortunate we are.
Yeah, got to soak it into, because you never know when's the last opportunity you're going to get to coach or watch a Steve Knight coached ball game and get those pregame conversations. Now, granted, I bet he'll be your color analyst.
Ooh, not that.
That could be fun.
That would be very fun.
I bet he maybe takes a year off after retirement, whenever that may be, and then all of a sudden realize, I'll mosey on back out there. Maybe you'll just have him for home games or something, and slowly work his way back into it. Or I hate to kind of bring it up this way, but if you think about it, he could end up over at Southern Miss, for all we know, being a color analyst for them too, just in case they want one, because that's where he played. I don't know. I bet Dr. Burnett and them could shell out the money or convince him to stay over here.
I mean, yeah, maybe puts Carey at the priority, but they get him over there for a few. If they're smart, they would get him over there for a few.
Oh, yeah.
If that's something he would enjoy to do.
Yeah.
Because it's a great way for a coach that is retired, like a Kay James that has been doing it for so long at Southern Miss, to stay connected to the program, to stay connected to the game. It's a way to extend that. And coaches will say, why did I know about this broadcast thing earlier? This is great. Why, you're watching film. You're watching film. You're talking to other coaches. You're scouting players. You're kind of building, you're kind of doing your scouting report thing and all. And you're getting to talk basketball. And you're sitting courtside. It doesn't get any better.
It's all the fun with no stress.
No stress.
Always fun to talk to Coach. And one thing I didn't get to in talking to him, but you kind of gave me a glimpse as to what is going on behind the scenes about this. This is going to be the first basketball season with the new semester schedule instead of trimester. So they're actually going to have a problem that I've seen with some other clubs over the last few years of having to make sure grades are in the right position going to Christmas break, because otherwise you may have some guys that play in the preseason or kind of the non-conference early part of the season, and then they're not available come New Year's.
Well, I've noticed this. The schedule, if you go to the schedule, it gets very light at the end of the semester, because when you get into December, so December 4th, December 6th, 9-day break around finals, and then you have December 18th. So there's not even a lot to get prepared for. They play Southeast Baptist ahead of a big non-conference matchup with Southern University of New Orleans. but there's that 9-day break. There is the big conference road swing at UT Southern and Blue Mountain, but there's also a day in between there and a couple of nights on the road as well where they can do study hall with them if they need to. They can get them away for multiple hours. In fact, that December 5th might be a travel day, practice day, and study hall day where there are a lot, there's a lot of tutoring going on, and there's a lot of study slash papers and so forth happening. Now, I know my son, on a paper note, my son has to write his papers in person in class because of AI.
Really?
I don't know how that is being affected at the collegiate level.
I think they have some tools that give teachers an idea if something is AI written, which there's one thing, this is kind of off the beaten path of, you know, talking sports, but if they see what's called an M dash, you know, kind of that longer dash used in papers, that's something that AI loves. And it's something that I personally love using in writing too, just kind of like a little, a long dash at the end of a sentence to give an explanation of maybe something you just mentioned. Like, it's almost like an apostrophe, meaning like, oh, I went to the corner market, long dash, a local store known for selling groceries in Hattiesburg. You know, something like that. It's just a little,
sure,
an addendum. Evidently, that is something that those checkers will often flag as, ooh, AI is the only people that use that. No human uses that type of writing.
You're so toast.
I would be in deep trouble.
Oh, yeah. Aren't you glad you don't have to write papers anymore?
So glad. All right. Before we run out of time, let's award our Crusader of the Week. I'm telling you, so many to choose from. I think I'm going to have to lean towards women's soccer on this one.
Ooh.
Alessia Navarro scored the first goal in both the Life and Dalton State matches. And I think that is a tone setter, helped wield carry on to victory in both of those matches. Now, granted, Karen Vallow had the go-ahead goal on a PK against Life there on Thursday night, but I think that didn't really happen unless you have Alessia getting that big tone setter. And by the way, one of the most powerful distance goals I've ever seen from that matchup against Life. So really impressive there. And she is my nominee, or my award winner. I'll just go ahead and definitively say of Crusader of the Week.
I didn't know if you were going Teddy Miranda because of how much that caught on from a viral perspective internationally.
Easy to give that to him as well. And I think he does deserve a little bit of credit there as well. But he's gotten his due on social media. We'll give Alessia our due here on the podcast. But that's going to wrap it up for us on another edition. Good content as always, Josh. Appreciate you joining me, and looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's here. Basketball is here.
Man, oh man, can't believe it. So for our crew, my co-host Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill saying until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saters.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.